almost everywhere, whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost.
Glory.
It cleansed and made them clean.
Yes, Lord.
It is burning now within my heart. All glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
I want you to sing it now. Yes, I'm one of them.
Seek this blessing. It will cleanse your heart from sin. That will start the joy bells ringing and will keep your soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. All glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
All my flaws, I'm still one of them. How about you? Are you glad you're one of them tonight? Are you glad you've been called out? Are you glad you've been separated from the world? Why don't you give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight? You love Him with all your heart. Yes, we're one of them. We're one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them, Lord, I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad
I can say
I'm
one of them. Though these people may not boast of me or boast of worldly fame, seed their own Pentecost,
yes,
baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide His power is yet the same.
Oh, yes,
I'm so glad,
yes,
I can say I'm one of them.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? You appreciate the word of the Lord. That book of Acts just gets plainer all the time, don't it? Amen. Human beings, flawed human beings, but they had a walk with God. You're a flawed human being. I am. But we've got to walk with God. One of these days we're going to walk right out of here.
Amen.
Are you glad about it tonight? When they say, where did they go? They say, they left. All you can say about you, Brother Harry, and the rest of you guys, and the rest of you sisters, this color, you gone, because you're gone. Is that right? Somebody say, I'm looking forward to leaving. Or do you mean it with all your heart tonight? Are you looking forward to getting out of this old pest house? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer requests. Got some things we want to let you know about tonight. We'll remember Brother Greg and Sister Shirley Robbins in prayer. Brother Greg having severe pain in his knees. Also, Sister Shirley is suffering from an upper respiratory infection. So we want to remember our folks tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of them, let them receive their healing. Brother Randy Scott sends this in to please pray for my mother. She's not feeling well. May God bless you. Sister Rachel Scott sends that in. So Brother Randy, Sister Rachel, Brother Randy sends this in to please pray for a friend of mine back in New York. She had to put her pet down today and is very heartbroken. So let's pray for that request tonight. As we pray, I want to remember Sister Ruth Jacks and her daughter from Georgia for a financial need. The Lord is mindful of that, we do believe. Brother Baker and family, they want to thank the Lord for touching and healing Sister Baker. Thank you for your prayer. So we praise the Lord for that tonight. Sister Martha Ann says, my brother Robert Hutto was found at his mailbox. He was in the hospital for 1 week. Also, he is on chemo for throat cancer and lung cancer. They transferred him to a rehab hospital to get him on his feet and back to chemotherapy. Please pray for him. He's in bad shape and he's unsaved. They're asking for salvation, that the Lord would give him salvation in his soul. We believe God's able to do that, don't we? Amen. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, how many of you know God is bigger than all of our problems? You believe that with all your heart tonight? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. We know we got a lot of folks out tonight because of graduation, different things. Let's just pray for traveling mercy for all those that are on the road. And let me make this announcement to all the graduates. I think we have nine from here at the church that graduated either this week or maybe today. The Bibles will be here in the morning for the nine graduates. They'll be over in the library for you to pick up. So remember that. Tell those folks if you see them tonight, or if there wasn't to be here tonight, maybe we'll make this announcement again in the morning. But the Bibles will be ready for our graduates in the morning. We certainly appreciate each and every one of them too, don't we? Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight. God is so good to us. Brother Skip, would you come tonight? Pray over these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. I'm so glad we're in church tonight. I'm so glad I love to come to the house of God. I'm going to borrow a statement that you kind of coined and made famous around here, but it is a tremendous opportunity and privilege to get to come to the house of God. It is really a privilege to get to come to the house of God. Do you believe that tonight? Brother Skip, God bless you, buddy. Let's pray with our brother tonight as he prays over these requests.
Let's all just pray. Lord, we're so happy to be here tonight, Father. We're thankful to get to come hear your word. And Lord, you heard the prayer request come forth. These people have confidence in our prayer, and especially confidence in you, Lord. And there's power in prayer. There's balm in Gilead. Lord, we believe that. And we're asking, Father, that you touch each one. The things of just like losing a pet, Lord, that's a traumatic thing. And we ask you to be with that family. We'd be with each family, Lord, who has sickness in their home and the ones who's on the road tonight, Father. We ask, Lord God, that you'd reveal yourself to us tonight. Father, we're so enjoying this, what Brother Donnie's bringing to us. We just want to draw near, Lord. We love you, Father. We just want to be what's being preached, God. That's the main thing in our lives, Lord. Just help us, Lord Jesus, and be with us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in the service tonight, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service, we pray it would be a great blessing to those folks as well tonight. Let's sing a song. I bowed on my knees and I cried holy. He's a holy Savior, isn't he? He is a holy God. We get to come into his sanctuary to worship the holiest of holies. I'm glad for that tonight, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Let's sing about it tonight.
I bowed on my knees and cried holy. Holy. Yes, holy.
I clasped
to the Son of God. Oh, I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, you are holy. City called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, Isaac and Jacob. to the Son of God,
our holy God.
Glory,
glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That ought to make a Methodist cry. Amen. To think about what God's done for us, Brother Terry. Where He's brought you from. Where He's taken you to. And the joy that you're getting to enjoy on your journey there. It's a hard time, but it's a great time. It's the greatest time we've ever lived in. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you just shake somebody's hand? You may have to walk around a little bit. Shake somebody's hand tonight and say, I'm so glad to know you. I'm so glad to know you. What a privilege it is to know brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. From the light, I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I was traveling along the back roads. I was headed in the wrong direction. Satan was sure he had hold my soul lost and bound. Through God's love and mercy, His grace turned me around. And I'm glad I crossed over in time.
From the light, I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I was headed in the wrong direction. Oh, my sin, dark as night. Satan was standing between my soul and the light. But Jesus gave me a light to shine when He saved this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed over in time.
Oh, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line.
Yes,
yes, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad.
You've got to sing that one more time.
From the light, I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You're just singing so good tonight. You can be seated, Sister Lindsay. Come tonight. Get ready to sing us a song. Let's sing the little chorus, Papa God, as she gets ready to come sing us a song tonight. He's our Papa, isn't He? You love Him with all your heart. Papa God, You saved me from my old life. You forgave me, You cleansed and made me whole. You touched my heart, You changed my soul. Now I know I need You so. Papa God, one more time with all your heart. Oh, sing it to Him.
Save me from my whole life. You forgave me. You cleansed and
give Sister Lindsay a nice hand tonight as she sings for you.
Try to fit you in the walls inside my mind. I try to keep you safely in between the lines. I try to put you in the box that I've designed. I try to pull you down so we are eye to eye. Forget that you've always been the king of the world. I try to take life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so smart when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? Just a whisper of your voice can tame the seas. So who am I to try to take the lead? Still I run ahead and think I'm strong enough.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Ain't you glad he's your king?
Amen.
If we can believe that 100%, then we can believe that we'll get to Rome, whether it's in a cruise liner or through a prison, preaching to Felix or whatever.
Yes, sir.
We can believe that.
Amen.
And we can believe that we got victory. I've got victory over the enemy there. I think, brother. This song's too fast for you to sit down, so if you don't care, stand up.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I've got victory over the enemy, and the world can't do me no harm. Well, I've got victory over the enemy, and the world can't do me no harm. Well, I've got victory over the enemy, and the world can't do me no harm. Well, I've got victory over the enemy, and the world
your heart. Well, the devil's always watching. He's waiting on me to fall. I've been through the storm, been through the rain. He's still the same, I know. I've got victory over the enemy. And the world can't do me no harm. Well, I've got victory over the enemy. And the world can't do me no harm. Well, I've got victory over the enemy. And this world can't do me no harm. I've got victory over the enemy. And the world can't do me no harm. I've been wounded in the battle. I've got battle scars to show. But I've come through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil at all. I've got victory over the enemy. And the world can't do me no harm. Well, I've got victory over the enemy. And the world can't do me no harm.
Wow. Praise the Lord. If that's your testimony tonight, my goodness, you ought to be one of the happiest people in the world. God bless you. It has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Before church, I was just kind of singing this song around home and Carol getting ready to go to church. I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Sing it with me. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I'm even gladder when they said unto me that I was the house of the Lord. Because you could go in the house of the Lord and leave in a pretty bad shape. But if you are the house of the Lord, that's quite a blessing, isn't it? Can you imagine if you were standing in a place and this building was moving 600 miles an hour? 600 miles an hour. Most of us are probably so sick, wouldn't we? If it was moving 600 miles an hour, we'd be so sick and, oh, just so tore up. I couldn't stand it, Brother Donnie. But that's actually how fast you're moving tonight in space. The earth turns 600 miles per hour, except on the equator. On the equator, she's moving 1,000. 1,000 miles an hour, like this. Why aren't we all sick? How can we all stand it? How can we all? Because your Father designed it perfectly. Isn't that overwhelming? Moving that fast and yet able to stand here. Oh, praise God. All the intricacy of His creation just absolutely overwhelms me. I just say how great Thou art, Lord. And if He's so mindful of things like that, how much more is He going to take care of us, children? Amen. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon. I don't know how y'all would have guessed that. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7. Amen. I trust you've been enjoying this Song of Solomon. It's a great book, isn't it? Great book. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7. We'll speak to you again tonight on the wedding night. Thou art all fair, my love. there is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart. The word ravished is made it powerless, took complete control over it. Can you imagine the Almighty God allowed himself to be ravished by you? God help us to grasp that. Amen. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? Great Almighty God, as we approach you tonight, Father, we are so grateful. Your greatness is beyond what our human minds can be able to comprehend. And yet, Lord Jesus, you would allow yourself to condescend to such a level that we common people, just average, everyday common people, the mortal birth I'm speaking about, we could pray and you would listen. We could sing and you would stop angels, as it were, to receive our worship, because you have done such a profound work in our lives. We are so thankful, Lord. We realize it is not in our ability to ravish you, but it's actually you seeing yourself in us, you seeing the mystery of your work that you have done in us is so great and so overwhelming that when that work looks back out of our eyes, it so moves you. Glory to God. It is the great work of God that the angels desire to look into. Father, I pray that you would take your word tonight and speak to us, Lord. You see our needs. All the people that raise their hands, it signifies something in their heart and their body. Maybe a spiritual need, a financial need, a son, a daughter, a husband. Lord, you know what it is. And then, Lord, we pray for those that are traveling, some on vacations, going one way, some another. We pray that you'd watch over them, Father. May they have an enjoyable time with their families, some up in the mountains and some down at the beach and here and there. But, Lord, I pray that you would help each of us, Lord, that we're making that great, great time for that one heavenly vacation. Glory. We're making preparation right now, Lord, to be able to not miss that great time. Speak to us tonight from your word, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. The wedding night. So the music is still playing on the outside. People are still feasting. They have now taken down the huppah, where the vows would have been exchanged. The bridal chamber has been prepared. They would have brought some wine in, and they would have brought in some fruits, maybe some dried fruits and nuts and various things that have been there in the Mediterranean diet that they would have had. But the focus of the night is not the food. The focus of the night is not how beautiful that it's decorated, but the focus of the night is him and her finally being joined together. May I say that we too are in a wedding night. It is truly night in Laodicea. And the sun, as far as the sun of the light on the gospel, for the most part, has been set for several years. Basically, we are gleaning. There may be some that we will bring that's never heard, but for the most part, we are gleaning. The big days of revival are over. Us going into hospitals, emptying out hospitals, don't look for that. It'll never be. For tens of thousands of people to be gathered around us, it'll never be. We're in a falling away. It's going to be that way. But yet, it is the night of our wedding. In this focus, he has now, up to these verses where we've been so far, chapter 4, he's focused on her hair and her eyes and her neck. And he's not talking about the wine that they would have drank. Oh, wasn't that wedding cake so beautiful? Those figs and all this and that and the other. Did you notice Dr. So-and-so? He was over there. And did you notice that great king? And this person here from this place and this one from there. You know, I think whenever we really fall in love with the Lord Jesus, when we come to the house of God, our attention is not going to be on what this person had on and that person had on. Did you notice so-and-so's tie? Did you notice so-and-so's dress? It was this and that and the other. It ought to be when we come to the house of God and our wedding night. We're focused on Him and He's focused on us. Truly, as human beings, there's something about us that things get our attention. But yet we know when we are truly born again, our attention is grabbed by the presence of God. And we know the prophet said what gets the Lord's attention about His bride is her keeping His word. Can you imagine Trump and all his honor? The presidents and all the great kings, that don't get God's attention a bit more than nothing. A little humble child of God keeping the word gets God's attention more than all the royalty of the earth put together. My, what an honor. But now they've come to this spot, and now Solomon, again, the wedding vows have been said. He's already moved into a new phase with the Shulamite, in that he's saying and calling her by the term spouse. Now, the term spouse is used several times in the Bible, but all of them are used in the Song of Solomon. So here she has now moved into a different stage because the vows have now been exchanged. They've exchanged the cup as they would. Even today in a Jewish wedding, they would take the cup, they pour the wine in the cup, and then the bride and the groom will take of the cup. The bridegroom will take and throw the cup down, and then he'll crush it with his foot. So they still have the different things that they do in order to bring it. Now, they followed through with everything they would have done in this time frame. So now all of the ritual, as it was, has been completed. And they are looking at each other. They are focusing on each other, and he wants her to surrender. So he wants her to surrender willingly. He does not want her have to be made to surrender. So what is he doing? He's speaking to her words that are creating an atmosphere that will make her comfortable to be able to surrender her all. You realize after we become children of God and we get our new birth by the Holy Ghost, that's exactly what the gospel does, that God continuously is dealing with our lives in the avenue of surrender. That we can surrender more and more, and the more we give and the more we surrender, the more He gives back to us. And the more we empty out, the more He fills us with goodness and revelation and the power of God. So it's not that He's trying to take so much from us. It depends on how you look at it. You know, there's an optimistic way to look at the program of God, and there's a pessimistic way to look at the program of God. The pessimists will look at it one way. The optimists will look at it another. One will look at it and say, well, God's trying to take so much from me. He's trying to take so much from me. But the other one will look at it and say, the only reason He's trying to take more from me so He can make more room in order to give me more good things. Because all the things He's trying to take is things I don't really need anyhow. Or it's things that's hindered me all of my life or slowed me down or whatever more. Oh, if we could only look at it that way tonight and realize that everything God asks us to give up, it only means He wants to give us something so much better in His place. Right. And she is now in the presence with the king. No doubt she's been in the presence before, but now it's totally different because they moved from the kitchen, as it were. They moved out of the living room and now they moved into the bedroom. It is a nervous time. It is a time of tension. And he knows what he must do in order to create this type of atmosphere to where she will give her all to him. It's the same way with you and I. Now God could hang us over here. God could have his preachers to preach hell and fire and brimstone every night. We could get up and preach how hot it is. We could preach that hell is enlarged the gates and try to scare you and submitting to God. But that's not what he wants. He wants you and I to submit to him out of love, not out of fear. So what is Solomon doing? He's creating an atmosphere of love in order to produce the ability of total surrender. Now she's kept everything that she has been for this moment. And now she's going to give it to this one man. And she must be calmed. She must be able to be brought into the spot that she will yield herself. And she will do it completely out of her desire to be able to please her Lord, which is now Solomon. Now remember, we was looking at the last time the devil, the week before last, how that whenever we were truly born into this world, we were born married. We were born married to the first nature, which had the rule over us, which was our first husband. But in order for God to be able to do something and pull us into divine union with him, that first husband had to die. But it was not enough just that first husband would be dead, but something then must be done anew inside of us after the death of the first husband. And that is that God by creation must create something inside of us of his own nature. Because you could only love something of your own nature. Aren't you glad that God has orchestrated it in such a way that we were born lost, born unregenerate, and yet he wanted to marry us and our nature was so contrary to his? How in the world are we ever going to do it? New creation. He will recreate in us a new creature of the divine nature, which gives us a compatibility to unite with the eternal. Now there's no way that we can do it before we truly become born again. Now, when a person comes up and say, we'd make an altar call here tonight, and somebody would come up and give their heart to God. And we'd say, well, I got saved last night. Praise the Lord. The Lord done something for me. We'd say, well, glory to God. And then they come up and get baptized. And then we go to talking with them and say, you know, you need to lay aside this now. Quit that and quit that. Are they married yet? They are not. They cannot become married to Christ the Word until the creation has started in them and the nature. Now that does not happen necessarily just because they repent and they are coming to God for sure. And that is the process. But we are married once the new creation consummates by God creating a new man within us. And that's the part that never did it in the first place. Now you realize that most of us, whenever we were born into the world and when we started doing things that was wrong, it impressed upon our conscience, our memory, our affection and so on, and the man that lived in us had so much power over us, it made our body obey his every will. But by doing that, then it imprinted upon us and left that in our memory, and that's why some of you are haunted to this day of things that you did in the past under the old life, because that old person did it, and it did it in this body. And what does the new birth do? The new birth actually kills that old nature and creates a new man. Where? In the exact same house that the other man used to live in. And the new man says, oh, by the grace of God, I never done that. But yet this one says, but I remember doing it. I remember getting drunk. I remember saying this and that and the other. But you know what? It takes a revelation of God to help us to sever which one of us is doing the talking and which one of us done the wrong. Now, the real you never never done it in the first place. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad of that? Now watch this, an invisible union. He said the word justified as though you never done it. Amen. It's not even regarded at all. How is it done? It's in the book of the sea of God's forgetfulness. Your old book and marriage is divorced and dead. It's not even in the memories of God. Now he doesn't say it's not in your memory, but not in God's memory. Amen. You are justified. Therefore, being justified, you was accused, but you never done it. But how is that? Now, your body done it because your body was there. And your body was a culprit in the crime. So if you was an adulterer, your body had to physically commit it. If you robbed a bank, if you smoked, if you drank, whatever it was, your hand picked it up, it turned it up to your mouth, and you drank it, and you got drunk, and your body reacted to the drunkenness. Is that right? If you were on dope, then your body responded to it. If you was lusting after somebody's wife, then your eyes looked at that person, thought thoughts you shouldn't have thought. So in your mind, this has been impressed upon you, and it leaves it in the hall of your memory. But yet there is a part about you once you are converted that never done it in the first place. And then people say, how can that be? I was there. I remember doing it. No, you don't. All you remember is the house that was involved in it. It was your hands. It was your eyes. It was whatever more. But the real life inside of you now never done it in the first place. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice he said that old union is in the sea of God's forgiveness. That old union, what union was it? Your first husband. Now, you was born married. So if you were born married, how are you going to get remarried? Simple. Get reborn. So you're born twice and born married twice if you're elect. If you're not elect, then you're born married and then you're a church member and you never actually get married again. But if you are elect, you are born married and you're born to your first nature. Then when you are reborn or remarried to another nature. Amen. And that places your name from the name of the old in the old book of life into the Lamb's book of life. Transferred was the word that he used. Basically, it's the identification that your life is no longer identified in time, that you're identified in eternity. So you are transferred. Oh, praise be to God. Notice this. He said you wasn't married to begin with. He, the bridegroom, bore your shame himself for you and your place. He took your place, for you were predestinated for him to be in his bride before the foundation of the world. The Bible said so. You are the predestinated seed. And Happy Valley said, you are the predestinated seed. So what happens then? You get a new nature, which is a new husband. Now it gives you to where you're able to get married again. Now if God kills the first nature, and that death is absolutely, there's no resurrection to him at all. Once God actually annihilates that old union, there is no resurrection for your first husband. Thank God for that. And you are delivered from that, but you cannot live without a nature. So if God kills that old nature by spiritual death, you've got to have another nature. Well, where's that nature going to come from? You're going to go back to mom and daddy and get another one. If you do, you'll be born in sin again. So what does God do? God recreates you a new nature of his own making, one that is compatible to his divine nature. Oh, hallelujah. But not only does the first husband now have to die, but God has to change you from within in order for you to be able to become remarried again. Let's notice in Leviticus chapter 21, verse 10. He that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garment, shall not uncover his head. Now, what's the requirements of the high priest in the Old Testament? Neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. Now think of what a strict position this man held. He couldn't even go in and see his mother and father as they lay there dead, because by doing so, he defiled himself. Now the office comes first. The office come first. So if your daddy died, I'm sorry. You could not go in there. Why? For the sake of God. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. He shall take a wife in her virginity. Now, the high priest is limited to be able to marry only a woman, which is a virgin, and not only a virgin, but she must be a virgin of his own people. He cannot marry a woman which had been married to another priest, although the regular order of the priesthood in the Old Testament could do that. So if a man had a wife and he died, then another priest could marry that priest's wife, but not the high priest. The high priest was a separate order. Now, Jesus is not just our priest, he is our high priest. Right. Now, this is to safeguard, of course, whenever a man, this high priest, would take this woman. This is to safeguard the generation or the genealogy of the priest to make sure that the child this woman is going to give birth to is actually his. Because if he, whatever child this woman gives birth to is a male, he will be the next priest in line. So if he takes a woman that's been a widow, or maybe a woman that was a spouse to another man, she might have lain with that man, and the next high priest are not actually be called of God. Oh my goodness. So what did God do? God said, I want this to be so strict, because I want the man that stands before me, even his successor, each one of them to be in the right seed line. Oh my, that's another sermon, ain't it? Notice in verse 14, a widow or a divorced woman or profane or an harlot, these shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people. Now, even a woman that was betrothed to a man, and say the man died, he was absolutely, a high priest could not marry her. Now, if the woman come up and you say, well, we want to get married. Yeah, we'll get married. All right, now in a year from now, we'll get married. All right, we'll get married. Then that priest goes out and something happens to him and the man gets killed. Now, God said, nope, the high priest can't even take that woman, because by the vow, she was a spouse to this man. Amen. God ain't just doing it for the Levitical order. He's doing it for himself in the new creation of the new race. Now notice then, if it was so particular in the Old Testament, how is it that we want to think that God will marry anybody and everybody? He'll take anybody in to be the bride. No, sir, friend, God will not do it. Whosoever will can come and be a part of the church, but whosoever will ain't the bride, never has been, never will be. The bride is God's choice. Amen. That's right. Now, noticing, you realize then also it carries over to this day. Brother Branham tells us this in Marriage and Divorce. There is no minister that can marry a widow. Did you know that? You want to read that? All right, get it in Leviticus. He said 21-7, Ezekiel 44-22. It'll show you that the priesthood was not to marry a woman that's been touched by man. This is the type of the virgin bride of Jesus Christ, because they handle the fire of God. Now, here we look at it. Now, let's bring it spiritually, not just so much naturally. And the focus of the Lord Jesus, that when we're all born to the world, and the way folks bring Christianity is that you're born lost and then you come to God, and then God saves you and you're automatically the bride as soon as you come up to the altar. Well, that may sound real good, but that is not the gospel. They come up. Are they on their way to God? They are. But something has to happen to loose them from that, not only that espousal, but that marriage. Just coming up to the altar and saying, well, I repent of my sin and I give my heart to God, that don't mean that you're a new creature. Oh, I laid aside my cigarettes. Well, I accepted the message of the hour. That still don't mean you're a new creature. You are only a new creature when the Creator recreates something in you by His own power to make you lovable. That's the only thing that annihilates that first union. That in the mind of God, you are no longer married to it, and that which was created in you would never did it in the first place. Amen. It's not just forgiven. Well, God forgive me. God forgive me. God cleanse me. And God save me. Friends, we're not just forgiven. We are justified. But we follow in the order of Melchizedek, in that we are created after the power of an endless life. You're not just forgiven. Oh, I'm the bride, but have I done all these horrible, horrible things in my past? Lord, how could you forgive me for all those things? That part that he married is totally innocent. It is totally pure. It is a new creation of God. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Notice this. He said, Aaron's son. We haven't got time to read it all. We get it out by noon. We got 20 minutes yet. Them as Aaron's sons, they handle the fire of God. So they could not marry a woman that had been touched by another man. Now watch again in Leviticus 21:14. A widow or a divorced woman or profane or a harlot shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people. Now notice the direction now. He could not take a proselytess which had been a Gentile. Now Boaz was able to take a Ruth, and David was able to take different ones, but not the high priest. The high priest could not. Don't you understand why? That Jesus, being the order of God, how could he ever take us as Gentiles or Jews or whatever we were, unless we were of his own people? How are we going to be his own people when we're born lost? We're born human and we're born without God. How in the world is he going to take us as his own people? He has to recreate us as his people. The new birth is the only thing that can do it. Oh, Brother Donnie, I've been coming to Happy Valley for years. Well, wonderful. I'm glad you have. But that don't mean you're his people yet. Now, I can't do that. No other preacher can do that. He's the only one that can. Watch. He shall take a virgin of his people. Oh, hallelujah. A virgin of his people. Watch Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them slaves, servants, red-headed stepkids, adopted into a family that you wasn't born in. Hey, I'm adopted, all right, but I'm adopted in the family I was born in. Adoption ain't, hey, man, spiritual adoption ain't, I was adopted into a family I wasn't born in. I'm born in the family of God. I've got the genes of God in me tonight. How many else here with me? Amen. Notice now, he calls them, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. How in the world can he call them brethren when they are born lost or born unregenerate? They're born out of the very economy of God. That's right, the human part was. But the part he's calling brethren is born in the family of God. We're from the same Father. We're from the same gene pool. We're from the same eternity that Jesus Christ came for when he came out of the eternal in the form of the pillar of fire. You don't remember, but you left the eternal with him. You come out of the eternal in the form of that logos, that pillar of fire, and here you are tonight expressing the attributes of God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. You imagine the Lord Jesus singing in church with us. In the midst of the church will I sing praise. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, friends, sometime the Lord Jesus might want your mouth. He might want your mouth just to give over to him so he can sing a little praise in the house of God. Amen, amen. Notice that again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. Amen. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Notice, they were children before they partook of flesh and blood. They were not flesh and blood and then accepted it. They were children pre-flesh and blood. Well, that ought to make a Presbyterian want to shout. Oh, man, amen. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love this. By one spirit we're all baptized into one body, the prophet said. And that body is a family. Yes, sir. The family of God. And that's the house of God. And the house of God is the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me read it again. That body is a family. The family of God. And that's the house of God. And the house of God is the name
of Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord is a mighty child. The righteous run into it and say, I have chose to put my name at the door of the house of my worship. For my family will be gathered in there under the blood like it was in Egypt. Anything outside died. And in there there's no leavened bread. There's no denominational mixture in it anywhere. My house, my children, born of my genes. Amen. Glory to God. My genes are in them. Oh, hallelujah. I put my word in them. I write them upon the tables of their heart. That's my family, the family of the body of Jesus Christ. The family. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah. How did I get there? Not because you shook a preacher's hand. Not because you listened to a tape one day and said, well, that could be the truth. Because God put his genes in you. And you're born into the family of God. That's the part of you that never done it in the first place. Don't you understand what he's doing? He's doing the same thing to us tonight. Amen. That Solomon did to the Shulamite on her wedding night. Think about it. Glory. Trying to get her to believe how much he loves her. But in her mind thinking, how could this be true? How could he love me this much? I'm just a poor little girl. I'm not no queen. I don't know how to walk like a queen. I don't know how to think like a queen. I was born out here in a poor and wretched and blind and miserable and naked in this Laodicea night. I don't know how to talk like a king. I get so nervous. I get around these royal people. And now there's the king of so-and-so out there and this and that and the other. But all I know is he keeps telling me he loves me. He keeps telling me that I'm forgiven. He keeps telling me that he loved me before the foundation of the world. As a matter of fact, he keeps telling me when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I don't understand how that can be. He says that I've never done it in the first place, but I don't remember the first place. I have to take his word that I was at the first place.
I believe we can take his word for it, don't you?
Now, in order then for the high priest to marry, he has to marry someone of his own kind. They have to be blood related. Watch this in a time of decision. Do you know that Rebekah and Isaac were blood relation cousins? And the bride of Jesus Christ is blood relation to him. A blood bought bride. Amen. Now, I don't just have the blood as a paint. It's flowing in my genes. You could take lamb's blood and use it as paint. Dog blood, cat blood, chicken blood. This blood's in your genes. The genes of the word now. Now, what she says, a blood-bought bride, no wonder she is led by the Spirit. Talking about Rebekah now when she came to hear Eliezer's message. There was a connection coming together. There was a union. The life is in the blood, and the life is in the church. The Christian life is born again by the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of life. Blood relation to Christ. The Spirit of Christ in the blood of Christ, leading a child of Christ, the seed of Abraham. Let me say that one more time, devil. That's the Spirit of life, blood relation to Christ, the Spirit of Christ in the blood of Christ, leading a child of Christ, the seed of Abraham. Oh, praise be to God. Let folks leave the message. Let them do whatever they want to do. But you know what? That ain't moving the elect of God at all. Amen. We believe it with all of our hearts. Why? There's something in us that responded. But I can't make sense of it all. I can't make sense of a lot of things. I don't understand a lot of things about life. But yet that's the way life is. So what are you going to do? You're going to follow what you make sense out of, or something that pulsates in your soul greater than anything you see, taste, feel, smell, to hear. Notice again in Super Sign, he says Isaac and Rebekah were first cousins, blood relation, showing that the church in the last days will be blood relation to Christ. For the very God that predestinated, oh Lord, the Christ who was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth, the church itself, its name was put on the book before the foundation of the world. And Rebekah, as soon as she heard of Isaac, there was something in her that pulled her straight to him. Though she hadn't seen him or nothing. Oh, glory! Yet she wanted to go by her own choice away from her denominational mother or her denominational brother. Why? There was something. As soon as she heard about him, she said, I'm ready to go. She had never seen him. She didn't know what he looked like. She didn't know if he was tall, fat, skinny, round, whatever he was. But when his name was mentioned, his character was preached, it tore her all to pieces. She said, let's go. Can we leave today? I'm ready to head out of here. Come on, let's go. Oh, hallelujah. Let a human being fall in love with the Lord God and be born again. They'll never be the same again in this world. They will become one of the drunkest, homesickest people you've ever seen in your life. They want to go home. They want to leave. Oh, they enjoy living here. But they're so homesick to see this man that they've never actually laid eyes on. He so anoints his gifted ministers that they can preach him so real that they feel like they already know him. That's what gifts do. The prophet said gifts are diamonds. And he said one part of a diamond. And that day, of course, was when they used albums. You know, albums are coming back, musical albums. Because there is a tenor about an album that they say you can't really actually get in a CD and record in other ways. Actually, some of the big studios, one of the ones I used, still went back and bought a great old big gigantic analog board. All kinds of digital boards out there everywhere. Because they say you cannot actually get the same sound. So he said the prophet likened gifts to a needle being put on your record player. And then it would drop down on the album. What's in the album? What's in the album? There's already recorded, and yet the chain, oh my, somebody comes over and puts it over through the chain of events. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's recorded, and somebody lays it down on side of there, and that little bitty diamond needle that was on the end of that thing, it would lay right down. What would it go to bring it out? Amazing grace. Put your finger on it and try it. Put your ink pen on it and try it. Well, glory, don't you understand why you need gifts in the body? Because those gifts will sit right down on the same scripture that you read before church. And when they go to spinning around under the predestinated mystery of God, it'll bring music out of there that you never even knew was there. Why? Because them gifts come from the great diamond himself. Oh, hallelujah. Eliezer so reflected that she fell in love with Isaac immediately. Sad in this day and age, a lot of folks have fell in love with Eliezer, Brother Branham, more than they have Isaac. They're making Brother Branham the third Adam. They're making Brother Branham in charge of the millennium. Time folks get done with it, I'm not sure what Jesus is even going to do. I just hope Jesus has some sort of position in heaven. Maybe he'll be the janitor or something up there. Bunch of heretics. Blasphemers. Amen! You apologize. I ain't apologizing. There ain't but one that's worthy to pay the price of sin, friend. It was not Brother Branham. It was not Paul. It was not Peter. It was not Luther. It was the Lord Jesus. There was only one that could walk in the fierceness of the wrath of God. It was Jesus Christ. I heard it the other day coming from headquarters where they said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, quoting a quote in the seals like it was trying to spell out something. And they likened it to Branham, B-R-A-N-H-A-M. That the seven thunders was the name of Branham. I said lies, false prophecy. Brother Donnie, don't you go that way. I'll go that way if my boss tells me to. Hallelujah. Brother Branham never said you're baptized in the name Branham. The family ain't named Branham. Come on, saints, it's named Jesus Christ. Oh, my. Notice this again in question and answer in 1964. This is very peculiar. You won't hear it quoted very much around certain ranks. When Rebekah went to meet Isaac, remember Eliezer, representing now the message. Now, if Eliezer represented the messenger only, you ain't going to be in the bride. Because you actually never got to hear the messenger himself. So it had a twofold representation. Sure, it represented him when he was here. Isn't this amazing? Here he calls it the message. Come on, let's say what the tape said. Representing now the message that went forth from Abraham. Eliezer went forth to find a bride for Isaac. He found the beautiful Rebekah in the cool of the evening. Ah, what precedes the wedding night? Cool of the evening. When was it that God came down the Garden of Eden? In the cool of the evening. When did God come down in this day to open the seals? In the cool of the evening. Praise the Lord. Amen. He found the beautiful Rebekah in the cool of the evening, a little dark-skinned girl coming out with a water pot. And Eliezer prayed and said, Lord God, give me good journey now and success from my master Abraham. And he said, go, don't take him from amongst the Philistines, or don't take her. Get over amongst his people. Amongst his people, showing that the bride of Christ and Christ is blood relation. Because Rebekah and Isaac were cousins. Well, let me tell you something. That is absolutely wonderful. But we're even closer than that now. Me and Jesus ain't cousins. Amen. We are not cousins. We're brothers. We're sisters. Hallelujah. We're the same God. Rebekah and Isaac was not from the same father. But you and I and him are. We are from the same father. We're not cousins to Jesus. We're not third cousins. We are absolutely from the same family of the same bloodline. His father's my father. Oh, my. I hope this don't choke you to death now. Notice this. He says, don't go over amongst his people, showing that the bride of Christ is blood relation, because Rebekah and Isaac were cousins. The church is the blood of Christ. By the Spirit, because the life is in the blood. That's the baptism. What? The church is the blood by the Spirit, because the life is in the blood, and that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So the blood is the Holy Ghost. You see, when a worshiper in the Old Testament brought his lamb and he laid his hands over on the lamb, showing that he was transferring his sins from himself to the lamb. The high priest would cut the bottom part of the lamb's throat, and the lamb would let out a sound, and the blood would gush out, and the man would walk away. Maybe he committed adultery that day or the day before, but the man would walk out with the exact same desire in him. Because the innocent life of that lamb could not come out when the high priest cut its throat and come back into that man. If it could have, then the man would have walked away with a different demeanor, a different desire. Lambs don't commit adultery. Lambs don't smoke. Lambs don't run around. Lambs don't do that sort of thing. But there's no way to bring the life of the lamb, because the lamb didn't have a soul. So what did we need for redemption? A lamb with a soul. And if that lamb had a soul, he must have a soulmate somewhere. Woo! Boy, that was good, Lord. Hallelujah. If he had a soul, there must be a soulmate somewhere. The prophet says this this way, Leadership 1965, the soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world. But that was not what was married to your first nature. So you're born into the world. The midwife, the doctor, the nurse, spanks you. Wah, wah, wah. Catch the breath of life. That little representation goes down inside you. You start growing, gooing and talking. Then you get to where you lie a little bit, and then you pick up something that's not yours. You start doing things that ain't right. But that's laying there dormant the whole time. You know, like certain parts of deserts out in California, the Mojave and in Africa and the Namib, and different places where that it can go years without rain. Years without rain. And yet it can start raining, and in a few days it totally transforms into millions of beautiful flowers and grass. And frogs that buried themselves in the good times down beneath the dirt laid there for years. And once the rain comes, burp, 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 here they come. How in the world did they survive? How did they live? How was they able to even do such a thing? That's God's law. Your resurrection is written all in nature. Hallelujah. And can lay there and lay there and lay there, and yet all of a sudden, out of there, here it comes. Oh, I wish somebody hear me tonight. It's the same way with you. You laid there. You smothered over that representation with drinking and running around and all that sort of thing. All you needed was a rain from heaven. Hallelujah. All you needed was a rain from heaven and the light of God. And you went, rrr, rrr, here I come, here I come. Out of my way, flesh, out of my way. Then, of course, I have to perform the funeral. I wish to express my happiness tonight for the death of your old husband. He beat you, he lied to you, he wore you out. I'm glad your old man is dead. Woo! But that ain't enough. That ain't enough. Now you're not married, but you still don't have nothing that he can marry. God, he can't marry your memory. He don't want to marry your conscience. He don't want to marry your flesh. He wants to marry his own kind, and you don't have anything there. Doesn't look like. Unless he'll let the rain fall. Glory to God. You say, how could I have survived and all that stuff? I don't know exactly. Sort of like a little ground squirrel that's about this long. I don't remember his name right now, but he lives up in the Arctic. He comes out in the summertime and he goes to cutting grass, trees, or little small bushes, seeds, and everything, putting them in his burrow. Now, in the summertime, the sun never goes down. So he'll work 18, 20 hours a day. And he'll pack stuff inside of that place and line that burrow for him to be able to eat when the weather gets cold. But then when the temperature drops down so cold, he will actually go into like a comatose place. Now his metabolism totally shuts down. His heart rate slows down. He'll come almost to death. With an infrared camera, they're able to see just one little tiny speck of heat in his body. And he comes right to death's door. And when he does, his brain will kick on the thermostat. And it'll kick on the thermostat in his body, and he'll go to jerking a little bit and quivering a little bit. And then you can watch through that infrared camera how that the heat will surge through his body. The heat will surge through his body, and he comes in this kind of semi-conscious place, and he'll be that way for maybe a few hours or half a day or so, and then he'll go right back into sleep again because he's got 6 months of sleep. So then he goes right back into that stage again. And then as the temperature keeps dropping down, getting colder and colder, then the thermostat in his brain again will turn itself up a little higher again. And it'll send all that back through. And you watch his entire body as it begins to illuminate. Lord have mercy. And what he'll do, he'll keep himself alive. That'll happen several times during the coldest part of the winter. Well, there that little seed of God laid down inside of you. It wasn't attached to your intelligence. It wasn't attached to your mama nor your daddy. It wasn't attached, amen, to nothing but the mind of God. And one day, hallelujah, when it looked like it was beyond redemption and looked like it was beyond salvation, the mind of God sent the frequency and turned up your thermostat and said it's time to send a charge through his body. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Why? God wanted to marry you. But you did. It's amazing, isn't it, that that little guy evolved into that. He just evolved into it, you know. He,
He just decided one day he was going to live up in the Arctic and decided that he needed that in his brain. So he just thought about it, I guess, and just kind of evolved into it. It takes more faith to believe that trash than it does Genesis. Oh my. Notice it. Lord Jesus. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that baptizes us into his body. That recognizes his body, his flesh, his word. Brother Branham pats his Bible. That's a good thing to do. Y'all pat your Bible? Y'all pat your wife? Your kids, your grandkids? What's pats generally mean? Touches from the hands to those that we love or care for. I've done it many times to my loved ones, or even those that I go in the hospital to see and they're in a real bad situation. God bless you, honey. We're praying for you. God bless you, my brother. We're just believing God. He's going to move forward. So what is it? It's a sign of affection. It's a sign of something. Now, if you do this and do that, that's not a pat. But whenever you're patting, oh, I wish somebody would preach with me now. You know what? Brother Branham loved his Bible. Amen. Brother Branham never come to lead us away from the Bible. As a matter of fact, he come to give us a clearer understanding than what we've ever had before. I love my Bible right now more than I've ever loved it before. And I don't have to lay aside my Bible to preach this message, because this message comes out of this Bible. Denomination won't never touch that. He said it's a revelation. She knows it. So did Eve know it, but she fell. But this one knows that it won't fall. She's ordained, hallelujah. Who? She is ordained not to fall. She won't fall. She's predestinated to it. So the high priest must marry a woman that's not been married before. Not touched by a man. Or a devil. And she has to be of his own people. His own blood. His own kind. Glory. And I have a few more minutes. Why it had to be shepherds. The first time angels ever sang at a celebration, it was in heaven. If you look in Job 38:7, I see some of you taking notes. When God first planned on making his first creation, the earth. The first time angels sang at a celebration was in heaven. But the first time they ever sang on earth was to shepherds at the birth of God. Thank you, Jesus. Emmanuel on earth, first human beings that ever heard an angel sing was humble pastors. Shepherds. Now notice, God is fixing to make another creation. So in Job 38, whenever God asked Job, where was you whenever I laid the foundation of the earth, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now the prophet places this is when God is fixing to expand his creation from the universe, and he's going to now bring it upon this favored planet called the earth. And there was something the angels picked up from the mind or the heart or the emotions, whatever it was, or the enthusiasm, as Brother Bam calls it, the enthusiasm of God that they felt like deserved a song. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us to sing any of the time. They may have. But when it come to this, there was something about the earth that it brought such jubilation and joy that the angels started singing in heaven. Well, now a new creation is coming into view. And the angels have come down to the earth, and they find these humble peasant shepherds. Yes, sir. Stinking, smelling like the sheep. Praise the Lord. And here the first human beings to ever hear angels sing. It's the shepherds. Hosanna. Glory to God in the highest. Hosanna to the King. And here's these humble guys, and they're looking up into the heavens just suspended right above the earth there. And there are these angels of God. Why? It's always a sign of new creation when the angels are singing. Notice he said, he's creating new life, eternal life. He's singing
to his subjects through angels. Don't you remember in the book of Zephaniah how that God said, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so will I rejoice over you. I will sing over you, my people. Praise be to God. Notice the angels. He is singing. Just for the angels to do it would have been tremendous. But he is now using their voices. And God is singing to pastors, shepherds. Why? So the shepherds can bring it to everybody else. Now the others may not quite hear it firsthand as the shepherds did, but they're going to tell them what happened to them. And it's going to be a blessing to them, right? Now notice he's singing to his subjects, or angels on the earth, not in heaven. Heaven had eternal lives, you see. And he sang, or they sang to the heavens when the mortal creation come in. And here the immortal creation, so the earth was identified as mortal creation. Christ Jesus is identified as immortal. And they're singing to earthly people the first time to shepherds. Striking, isn't it? He had started a new creation. What was it? A creation of himself. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible said in the beginning of the creation of God, God created in human form in Jesus Christ his son. Amen. He built his tabernacle of flesh and bones and lived in that tabernacle. God Emmanuel, God with us. He built himself a house to live in it so he could reflect his word to his subjects through that. Oh my. What's he doing? The high priest is fixing to create his own wife. After what order? The order of the second Adam, the new race. But he first must make the first head. Christ Jesus. Out of his body will come the second Eve, which will be his own people. His own blood, his own spirit, his own body. Amen. Devil ain't going to accuse him of no adultery. Let me close with this. Now he's standing in the midst of the church as he stands there revealing who he is in this life stage. He calls himself the author of the creation of God. There is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. We said, wait a minute, Brother Donnie, my mom and daddy. No, no, no. That's a different part of you. This part of you, he created. Your mom and daddy had a great deal to do with your physical and your all that sort of thing. This is not your body. This is the gene pool from God you come out of. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. As the Spirit of God, he came down and created in the Virgin Mary. The cells, which was his body, was born. I want to repeat that. He created the very cells in the womb of Mary for that body. It was not enough for the Holy Spirit to simply give life to human ovum supplied by Mary. Let me say this to you. It ain't enough for him to just forgive you and just say, well, I'll take that same old man. I'll take that same old nature. Your ovum, and that's something you can supply. You love your free moral agency so much, so I'll just let you take that, and then I'll just take my part, which is the spirit, and I'll forgive that old life, and you still done it, and you're still guilty. No, 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 of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. He willed it before I ever had a will. He chose it before I ever had a choice. Oh, he was of the new creation, man and God. This is the new creation. Man and God. Man and God. Joined in the same temple. We said stop to Jesus. Oh no, it never. It's still going on tonight.
This is the new creation. God and man joined in the same house. It don't stop at Brother Branham. It don't stop at Jesus. It don't stop at Paul. Amen. Man and God met and joined. He was the... Not the last. Not the only. But the first of this new race. He is the head of this new race. What new race is it? A new race of God people. That's why our color don't make no difference. Whether you're black or white or red or yellow, that don't make no difference to God. That's not what God's looking at anyhow. It's that humanity that God wants to fill with deity. That's what God is focusing on. That is the new race. It's still ongoing tonight. And the brothers all around the world going out and trying to reach those that tried to find it for, Brother Darrell. Not that they can add another feather in their hat. Not that they can find another disciple to their doctrinal issues. They're looking for the last one in this new race. They're looking for the last one by the skip that can come into this, amen, and receive their portion into the Lamb's Book of Life. And when the new race is consummated, the rapture will go. Then he'll say, come blow, blow. Blow upon me, north wind. Blow upon me, south wind. That he will enter into her and it will be consummated. The race will be completed. Oh, glory to God. Let's stand. Praise the Lord Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. 2 Corinthians 5. This is in the church age book, if you'll follow this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things are become new. So you can see that through man, notice this, though man was of the old order or creation, now in union with Christ, he has become the new creation of God, of a new order, the God people. Brother Donnie, surely you're not saying that you think you're God. No, I'm not saying that I'm God, and I'm saying God's in me. World of difference. Y'all ain't God neither. If you is, I was disappointed. You ain't God, but I believe God's in you. Amen. I don't want to choke you to death. Now, the body of Jesus was not God. Oh, Jesus. That's what he said. Don't get mad at me. That's right. The flesh had to die. God could not die. And it was a creation of God. What was in him? The fullness of the Godhead body. That's why the prophet said the disciples had a hard time understanding him. Because part of the time it was Jesus. Part of the time it was God. Well, don't look at me so dumbfounded. It's the same way with you. Precious words of God can come from your mouth and gibberish can come out the next 5 minutes. Bunch of nonsense, and we can, you know, just say, I'm not talking about cursing things like that. I'm just talking about old stupid carnal stuff. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus never done none of that, of course, but yet here we are still following in that same order. Why? We're on the wedding night, and he's speaking to us, telling us, my love, come with me from Lebanon. You see, a child of God's everyday walk, it's a daily leaving Lebanon. That's where she's from. She lived in this high country, and Shinar, and all these Amana. These were four peaks in this mountain range of her life. So lions was there, and leopards was there, and all kinds of fears and frustrations and all kinds of things she must have been dealing with. But he repeated twice. He said, come with me, my love. Come from Lebanon, away from Lebanon. Leave your fears behind. I love you. You're mine. I chose you. But my past. I don't recall you having a past. But God, I remember it. Well, maybe you do, but I don't. I destroyed that book years ago. You and I have been married for all these years. Now, why don't you just put that aside and let's enjoy the wedding night. It's just me and you. Let's just talk I'll touch you on the hands, you touch me. You look me into the eyes, I'll look you into the eyes. Forget your mama, your daddy. Forget ball games, football. Forget the price of oil. Forget the Dems and the Republicans. Amen. Oh, but North Korea, North Korea. No, keep your mind stayed on him, not on North Korea. North Korea can't do nothing. Oh, but Brother Don, if they go to dropping them bombs before one of them ever hits, you'll be gone anyhow. Praise God. You believe that? Why? You're under his protection. Do you understand where you are? You understand where you are? We're in our new land, the bridal chamber. Isn't it amazing? They would take this one room in the palace and they would rename it and not call it the bridegroom chamber, but the bridal chamber. The bridal chamber. So the king would bring her to the room named after her. Praise God. Don't you understand? Oh, how much he loves you. How much he cares for you. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't it just make you want to give your all to him? Oh, praise God. Can we just raise our hands in his presence and let's just ask him to help us to be able to surrender. I know we sing the song, I Surrender All, and I wish, to be honest with you, it would be that easy that we could do it one time and surrender all at once. That'd be really nice. But in reality, it doesn't work that way. We'll be surrendering the entirety of our lives, pretty much. We'll surrender week after week, month after month, year after year. Oh, but he's so patient with us. Praise God. Hey, can we sing that together? I surrender all. While we're in the presence of the King now. Now, I know we're standing here together tonight collectively, but if you can, for just a few moments, just get your eyes on the King. And let him put his eyes on you. Not on us, but on you. I want it to be me and him together tonight as you and him. Amen. He's mindful of you. Whatever you're going through, whatever your frustrations, your fears are, he's mindful of you. Let him just take your sicknesses, your diseases, your fears that you're going to die, your fears that you're not going to be in the rapture. Come from Lebanon. Come from those haunts of those lions and the haunts of those leopards. Let him just tell you, trust me, bride. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Let's sing it together. Everybody now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Father, you see the need of our brother, Lord. Dear God, he's been to so many different doctors and so many different tests and things that they've done on his body to try to figure out, Lord, what's going on. Oh God, I ask you tonight in the name of Jesus that you'd be mindful of our brother, Lord. May the Spirit of God help him, Lord. Heavenly Father, we believe that we come to this earth to serve your purpose and we come at your time. And we believe we'll leave the same way. Lord, I pray for my brother tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus that you'd help him. Oh, Lamb of God, touch Brother Eugene tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I can't say that I understand, Lord. We prayed for so many, Lord. Oh, Lord, and seen you move for him. And during the same time that we've prayed for him, Lord. But yet we know somehow, dear God,
Your ways are always perfect, though we don't understand them. And though, Father, they may not make sense to us, but we pray for our brother tonight, Lord. Beyond our understanding, beyond us being able to put it together, may the Spirit of God move for our brother tonight, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, we believe, Lord Jesus, that you are our great provider. El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, you are a Jehovah of miracles. Lord Jesus, you can move and none can hinder. I pray you would touch our brother tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, move for him, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, whatever this is that's going on in his body. Heavenly Father, apparently it's hid from the scans and the tests and all the various things that the doctors have done. But, oh God, we call upon your name. Lord Jesus, move for our brother, I pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I pray for his wife. Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. All to thee, my. Sing it to him, children. Let's just worship. Enjoying your wedding, Matt. Yes, married to the King. Amen. God bless you, Brother Darrell. Would you come and dismiss us in prayer, buddy? We're glad to have you with us in service tonight. Amen. God bless you, saints. See you, Lord willing, in the morning. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Wonderful words of life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What manner of man is this? What race, what nation, what tribe of people are we, friends?
Thank you.
Amen. When we really see ourselves in the Word and recognize who it is and what God has done for us, it'll produce a body change.
Yes, Lord.
What else can it do? You just can't sit still any longer.
And thank you, Lord.
I believe we're hearing the words. It's producing the vitamins to bring forth the changing of our bodies.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you enjoy the Word tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Just bow our heads. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's just so good to be in your house tonight.
Yes, Lord.
But Lord, it's even better to be your house tonight.
Yes, Lord.
We are so grateful, Lord, for the words that we've heard, For we do not believe that it is the words of a man, but we believe, Lord, it's your thoughts that you thought of us before the foundation of the world, Lord. And Father, as you said in your word, your thoughts are not our thoughts. Unless, Lord, we was to think your thoughts, then our thoughts would be the same, Lord. So, Father, help us, Lord, to cast down our thoughts, Lord, the voices that speaks to us, and may we hear your voice, Lord. As when that day when you spoke and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. The prophet said, hear only him. And Lord, help us to listen to the voice of the word, even over our own voice, Lord, that would speak negative or failures in our lives, Lord. May we simply take what the word said, Lord, and become that, for we believe we're living in the hour that the word is becoming flesh and the flesh is becoming word, Lord. Bless you, children, Lord. Go with us as we depart from the building, but never from your presence, Lord, we pray. Be safely on the highways, Lord, as we make our way home. And may we meditate upon the things that we heard tonight, Lord, and come back in the morning to hear more of your precious words. Bless Brother Donnie. Restore his strength, Father. Thank you for his labor of love, Lord. Labor, Lord. And Lord, these things don't come, Father, in just 30 minutes, but just to lay before you and you reveal these things. Thank you, Lord, for his labor of love for us, God. And for the hours that he spent in studying, Lord, to bring these things to us. Lord, we're grateful for it, and we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord God, that you can drop that needle down upon his life, Lord, and it can bring forth the words of life to us. We just love you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for all that you've done for us, for all that you've given us, for we humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be dismissed in the fear of the Lord this evening. Amen. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Oh!